Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from the Gospel reading, Luke chapter 14, I will reread a couple of verses. Now great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned to them and said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." This is our text. Very recently in our church calendar, we had the remembrance of St. John the Baptist's death. Do you remember how John the Baptist died? It started when he told Herod that he was not to sleep with Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. And saying that cost John his freedom. Later, as you may remember, it cost John his head. A steep price to pay for speaking the truth about marriage. But here's what I want you to consider. Imagine for a moment, we don't know that this was the case, it probably wasn't, but imagine if John the Baptist had a wife or children. Or if his parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, were still alive. What might they have said? Or his disciples, whom he did have, what might they have thought about all of this? Did any of them think that John was crazy or stupid? Did they agree with John, but just wish that he'd kind of tone it down and not make such a big deal out of Herod's adultery? Did they feel like he took things a little too far, a bit extreme perhaps? And did any of them say, "What about us, John? You'd really give up your life, this life with us, to rebuke Herod for committing adultery, and then to rot in prison and lose your head? You'd give up your life with us for that? Do you really hate us that much? Why don't you love us?" I can imagine someone saying that to John. "You'd really choose prison over us?" To which John would have replied, "Let me tell you what this has to do with love. I do what I do, I preach what I preach, I live as I live out of love for my God and for his truth. And out of love for lost sinners like Herod who need to hear that truth, and out of my love for the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world." And I could also see some of his family, his friends, and his disciples resenting that. These are the stakes. This is why Jesus shocks the crowd and us with such strange and uncomfortable words. "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." I know you might want to say, what's gotten into Jesus? And what about all that love one another? Or last Sunday, let brotherly love continue. What about honor your father and your mother? When Jesus says these words, it makes me wonder a little bit about his own immediate and extended family. We know at least one time from the Gospels when some of Jesus' family showed up to where he was teaching and tried to silence him. Like they wanted to just take him home. Like they were ashamed of him. "Jesus," they might have said, "if you loved us, you wouldn't say those things. You wouldn't make those enemies. You wouldn't live like that. Do you hate us? Don't you know that you're embarrassing us?" Now, hate here doesn't mean to despise, detest, or dislike them. Jesus isn't saying that you have to treat your father or your mother or your wife or children terribly. Not at all. It's all about the comparison. Jesus loves his Father in heaven and he loves the mission that he's been given and sent on above all things. John the Baptist loves his Lord more than he loves his own head. So what is it that you love most? You could say that what Jesus says here is a bit of truth in advertising. He doesn't put this in the fine print. He doesn't include these words in that chipmunk-like speed disclaimer at the end of a commercial. He doesn't wait till everyone's all in and then lay this on them. He puts it up front. He says it in the open, just in case anyone's on the fence, just in case you were thinking about joining him, about being his disciple. He tells you the worst case scenario, the ultimate, and what we must be willing to give up. And of course, there are many who will never be called to give these things up. Many of you who are gathered here will never be faced with a choice between Jesus or your father or your mother. But it could happen. And there are Christians to whom this does happen, even today. Imagine what it would be like if you were a Muslim who became a Christian. What would that mean for your relationships? For your relationships with father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters? What would it mean for your livelihood, your job, and for your life in the village and among your people? It probably would mean the end of all or most of those things. But maybe you do know a little bit what this is like. Maybe your family doesn't understand your attachment to Jesus. Why can't you spend even one Sunday morning with them? Maybe your friends don't get it. Maybe they wonder what's happened to you. Why can't you hang out with us and do the things you used to do? Why can't you be more accepting and just love us for what we are? As if it should be okay for you to love Jesus a little less and care for them a little bit more. Oh, they'll give you permission to do that. By all means, go ahead and cut your attachment to Jesus, or at least distance yourself a little bit. As if your friends or your family or others were to say, if you come to me and do not hate Jesus, you cannot be my father or mother, my husband or child, my brother or sister, or even my friend. Those are the stakes. It's not about being cruel to the people around you. Jesus isn't teaching us to be morose or depressed about this life. The command to honor your father and your mother still stands. Love your neighbor as yourself still sums up the second half of the commandments. But note that it comes after the first and greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not love the Lord your God with some of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, reserving a place for others, but love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You see, there's an order to our loves. First, God, in a category all by himself. Then, father, mother, wife, child, brother, sister, friend, and your own life. So I ask you today, what is it that you have to or have had to give up, let go, and leave behind? What attachments are getting in your way of being his disciple and following him? And I don't necessarily mean an attachment that you have to give up entirely, but perhaps an attachment that's getting in the way only a little bit of your following Jesus. Do you remember what Jesus asked St. Peter at that breakfast on the beach after he rose from the dead, after Peter and the other disciples had gone fishing? Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? More than these fish, these people, this job, this lifestyle, these dreams? Because in following Jesus, there are often things that we have to leave behind. There are often things that we can't hold on to while holding on to him. Choices must be made. You can't have it all. Well, you can in Jesus, but not everything the world calls all. So when the roads diverge, which way do you go? When your Lord Jesus Christ and your family are at odds, with whom do you stand? And even if the division is really small at the start, just consider that over the course of 1,000 miles, even a 1 degree difference in direction will put you far, far apart. The same is true over a lifetime, over 50 years or 80 years of following Jesus. Now, a couple things that must be left behind. One thing that must be left behind is sin. Of course, that should go without saying, but there, I said it. Sin cannot remain as you follow Jesus. You cannot cling to your sin and follow Jesus at the same time. Both is not an option. But there may be other things too. There may be things that are fine in themselves, but are not fine for you. Friendships that put you in compromising situations, jobs that force you into unethical decisions, habits, interests, and loves that hinder you from following Christ. It could be how you use your time, or how you use alcohol or legal substances, or how you use social media or the internet, or a whole host of other things. Jesus said, "You cannot serve two masters. Either you will love the one and hate the other, or you will love the other and hate the one." So if Jesus is our Lord, and that's what it means to be baptized like Monica was today, it's what it means to say every week the creed, it's what we confess when we join the church, as Steve and Carrie Gould will do shortly, if Jesus is our Lord, then he has total claim on our lives. And to follow anyone or anything else in the same way will cost us him. That's the first part of what Jesus teaches, to count the cost by asking, what do I have to give up today? The second part is similar. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. On the one hand, Jesus talks about what we have to leave behind. On the other hand, he talks about what we have to carry, what we have to pick up, what we have to bear today as his disciple. What is it for you? In following Jesus, what have you taken on? What is it costing you now? Just as there's a cost to building a tower or starting a war, there's a cost to being a Christian. And Jesus wants us to know and think about what the cost is and be ready to pay it if needed. He wants us to be prepared for the long haul with him, not just to follow him today or tomorrow, but to follow him every day, all the way to death. Some don't make it. Some are just curious about Jesus and after a while turn aside. And I would imagine there were some like that following Jesus on the day he said these words. There are others who embrace Jesus with joy, but when the heat comes, they wither. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Renounce. We heard that word earlier. Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? And we spit in the devil's face again today. But maybe we need to add another. Do you renounce all that you have? Everything, even the good. Do you renounce your own life for him? It's a lot to ask. At one point in the Gospels, Simon Peter turns to Jesus and he says, "Lord, we've left everything to follow you. What about us?" And Jesus makes a beautiful promise. He says, "No one who has left father and mother and house and home and wife and children and all those things in this life will go without, but even here you will receive 100-fold mothers and sisters and brothers and children, and also in the age to come, eternal life. Perhaps you have lost family for the sake of following Christ, or have strained relationships. But look around you. You have a family here. You have brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and children in Christ. Peter saw that he had a lot to lose in following Jesus, but he believed that it was worth it, because the things that are worthwhile in life often cost the most. You know how it is with things that are cheap. We don't value them. They break and we replace them, but we treasure the things that are costly. Following Jesus is costly, so treasure it. And it is worthwhile because of who Jesus is and because of what Jesus himself has done. When Jesus set out to love his Father, when Jesus set out to glorify his Father's name, he counted the cost, every last bit. When he prepared to build not a tower, but a church that will last forever, he counted the cost, every last bit. When he planned to make war on sin, death, and the devil, he counted the cost. He counted what it would cost to redeem you and to take you through this life into the life of the world to come. He counted what it would cost to make you his. The cost was not in silver or gold or Bitcoin or dollars. It was the cost of everything he had, his holy, precious blood. How many drops was that? Of how much value was his blood, the very blood of God, of infinite worth? His innocent suffering and death. And how terrible was that? Those moments, minutes, hours of agony on the cross. His own life he gave for you. He bore this cost for you because he counted you more valuable than his own life, more precious to him and more precious in the sight of his Father. And so he bore his cross for your sake and mine. They took Jesus and he went out bearing his cross to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. And there they crucified him. You see what he was willing to give up for his Father and for you. You see what he was both willing to leave behind and willing to take up and bear for your sake. His unconditional, his total love and commitment. And he finished the course. This is the beautiful thing. How many times did our Lord have when he could have turned aside, when he could have compromised, when he could have toned it down? When the devil tempted him, when others tested him, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was staring in the face that cup of suffering, he could have turned aside just by one degree, ever so slightly, and it all would have been lost in the end. But he didn't. He stuck to his course. He stayed on the path he was following, even when it got challenging. And so he has become our Lord and our Savior. Jesus is our tower. He is our refuge of strength. And on the third day, he rose again. He rose again with this promise: whoever loses his life for my sake will gain it. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies, lays down his life. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And because of what he did, we do what we do in following him. Step by step, day by day, hour by hour, year by year, leaving behind the things that we cannot keep while following Christ, and picking up the things that we must bear. St. Paul said, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. The saints in Revelation who died for Jesus' name are described as those who loved not their lives, even unto death. They hated their own lives because of how much they loved the Lord. They had something of even greater worth and value than their own lives. And you have something of greater worth and value than your own life. You have Jesus Christ as Lord. You have his help and support now. And you have, by the bearing of his cross that he bore for you, the promise of the endless world to come. So, dear Christian, be strengthened, be encouraged, follow after Christ, take up your cross, and press forward in him for the prize that you have of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.